It's early. Not all that early, but it's earlier. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It's Tuesday already. The week is slipping past already. It's only the second day of the week, but it's still, you know, it's Tuesday. It is it's 7:14 a.m. It's not as early as I hoped it would be. This is not going to be as long of a show as I had hoped it would be. But a couple of things I have on my mind this morning. Unfortunately, I listened to the news, which gives me cause for complaining on my show. So the first thing to talk about is my cup and what's in it. Not one of my favorite things, however, probably better for me than what I typically have. Chai is not all that, especially with fake Cinnabon creamer. I don't know if you guys realize this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm also not a financial counselor or a life coach. Not a rodeo clown, however. I've always wondered what they'll be like. The cup, the contents of my cup this morning, of course, it's the cup that says I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. Cup. I'm about to make some t-shirts with that on it. I have peach tea. It's a stash peach tea with a lot of sugar, which probably isn't good for me either. Not as much sugar as I normally have. I'm trying to cut back a little bit on that. Just a little bit. You know, every little bit helps. I heard that the average person, I think, eats 50 pounds of sugar a year. Something like that. That's the average person. I probably eat about 500 pounds. So that brings everybody else's average way down. Take me out of the mix. I just recently heard a politician say the average that what Americans spend on whatever it is, it was like $30,000 or whatever it was. That's the average. That means half the people spend more than that and the other half spend less than that. These guys understand nothing about math. That's not the way it works. You've got a finite base here, folks. You've got a finite. I heard this politician. It was something. I can't remember what it was. I think it was a per month or per year cost of something. What the average American spends on XYZ, whatever it was. It could have been $3,000. It could have been $30,000. I don't know what it was. So let's say the average person, the average household spends $3,000 a month on living expenses. I'm going to call him what he is. He's a arithmetic idiot. Apparently uses Common Core math. I don't know. Where do these people? That means half the people spend more than that and the other half spend less. That's not what that means. Out of 100 people, 10 people could spend $300,000 a month living, and the others are spending $1 a month. That's how it changes the odds on the mean, on the average. It doesn't mean that half the people, it's just like 50% of the people and 50% of the people. No, that's not the way it works. And this guy's an elected official. He's got staff. He's got people who probably told him what to say. His little speech. That's the kind of stuff that just aggravates the daylights out of me. So I'm drinking I'm only drinking. Half the people out there drink more than, or consume more than 50 pounds of sugar. The other half consume less than 50 pounds. So 200 out of 300 million people, 150 million consume more than 50 pounds of sugar. The other 150 million consume less than that. That's how that works. Anyway, it's good tea. So I have a couple of issues. One of the things that's really sticking in my craw this morning that I heard about, there's been a couple of things I've listened to and saw a couple of, I tell you what, I almost took screenshots this morning of some of the MSNBC headlines I've been seeing. They're absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely nuts. I'm not even gonna look them up this morning because it's just too much. I guess some big fancy multi-million-dollar yacht sank off of coast of Italy. By the way, interesting video. If you find it on YouTube, it's Euronews and a couple other places are posting it. Now, let's see where the one I saw was. I guess it was Euronews. There's a couple different ones out there. The thing that's really kind of sticking in my craw this morning, and it's a couple of different stories on this stuff. One of the things I saw yesterday that really disturbed me, let's get into this first before I start talking about the other issue. The story that really bothers me kind of relates to this a little bit. There is a concerted effort. George Soros is one of the main ones. I never thought about it that much, I guess. There are conservative radio stations that speak Spanish. They're, Latino, whatever you want to call them. Spanish-speaking radio stations and Telemundo and that kind of thing. Telemundo is not a right-wing group. They're not conservative at all. The conservative radio stations are being bought up by these organizations that are Soros-backed funded money. So this one radio station was for sale, and they were valued at around like what was $15 million, whatever it was. And this Soros group came in and offered them like another $8 million on top of that to purchase it. Now, I didn't hear the whole story very well because, quite frankly, I listen to Facts Matter almost every day. Roman Mamakov usually has really good reports. The one that was last night, the audio was terrible. I could not stand it. And there's been two interviews I've heard recently that were just absolutely horrendous. One of them was that one. It was the audio was just terrible. I had to turn it up really loud. The problem with turning it up loud, and I really hesitate to like turn it up loud enough to really hear very well, is you get all the background noise, and it sounded like they were underwater. Like it was, I had all that background, like they were out in a hallway somewhere with a bunch of people talking and the echo and all of this stuff was going on. And he wasn't mic'd. I think Roman was mic'd. His mic was working fine. The other guy was not mic'd, or his mic wasn't working. And all they had was the room noise, or they had to play with Roman's mic, to make it sound like he was, I don't know what was going on there. They had a sound issue. Let's just put it that way. Nothing irritates me more because I'm really sensitive to quality audio, and that's not what we were getting. It was really difficult to listen to it. Now, there was another interview that was very interesting, but I couldn't stand to listen to it because the audio was so bad. I can't remember what it was. not wasn't real clear. Anyway, that's what the most disturbing thing was that right there. It was not, that wasn't my most disturbing story, but it was that part of it was that Soros is buying this stuff up. Now think about this. You get some of these rich moguls coming in. And now, there was a time when Newt Gingrich said something about George Soros on Fox, and all of a sudden, we can't talk about George Soros. It's verboten. We're not going to talk about him on this show. It startled Newt Gingrich. Oh, we can't talk about him. Oh, he actually used the word verboten. And they hesitated, obviously listening to their producers, and then went on from there. Very strange, awkward moment. And Harris, what's her name? She was it was her show in the afternoon. Just really bizarre, weird stuff. Obviously, Soros had his fingers in something there. Now, I don't know whether he still has the clout that he had there. I'm not sure what happened with that, because I've heard him talked about now since then on Fox News, and no one has hesitated to say anything bad about him. But I don't know what was going on at that moment. So prior to the election, this is their plan. They're buying up these radio stations prior to the election, and they want to keep their paying their anchors and the people who are on the shows. They're paying them ridiculous amounts of money to stay up until the midterms. However, or right before the midterms, they're being bought off, and I don't know what is going on here. But there is a huge amount of money flying around out there, obviously. When you get $40 billion going to one country and billions of dollars being spent, you can guarantee that some of these organizations that are getting this money are funneled back to people like George Soros, not necessarily him, but people like him who will do this kind of stuff. It's just bizarre. Because on top of that, all of a sudden, all this money that's slushing around out there. Now, one of the things that's not very well known about the Speaker of the House or the Minority Leader, the Majority Leader, Minority Leader, that position in and of itself wields a huge amount of power when it comes to the party. Speaker of the House is third in line of the president. And you are, as far as party goes, you are right at the top of the piggy pile with influence. I have to answer this text. Okay, that's over with. There's a little pond in a near a little town that I grew up in. It's commonly called Pee Wee Pond because it's a little tiny little pond in the park. It's not really even a pond. You can't swim in it. You just have to walk across it. It's like a mud puddle, and they maintain it. And I was talking about that shipwreck thing. And of course, somebody said, well, yeah, we saw one go down in Pee Wee Pond. Yeah. Yeah. So they you have to understand this. Pee Wee Pond is a little, you couldn't sink a toy boat on that pond. Top of it would still stick out. I'm not even sure it would stink. I'm not sure it would even sink. Probably stink, but it wouldn't sink. All right. So the House, the Speaker of the House, huge amount of power that he wields. Now, the reason he has that power is because he has control of a PAC. John Boehner, who was extremely unpopular among Republicans won the vote, when they were up for the vote for who would be the Speaker of the House, he won the vote based on the fact that he had control of that PAC and he had purse strings. And he influenced people's campaigns. And because they were influenced, they had some an amount of loyalty that they owed him because of campaigns are all run by money now, which I don't understand. I guess advertising, now this doesn't always work this way. Recently, they've been finding out that some of these MAGA guys have been getting outspent in campaign funding, and they're still winning. So that's important to know. It's not always about the money, but the money is a big deal. Now, one of the reasons the money is a big deal is because when somebody raises more money for their campaign, that means more people are behind them and more enthusiastic about them. There's two sides of that coin. It's not just the money spent on the campaign. It's not just the influence of the ads. It is also the fact that they have so much support. So when you get PAC funds, see, PACs, you can donate as much as you want to a PAC, I think. I'm not sure if there's any restrictions or not. I don't know. I'm not a political, legal analysis guy. Don't take my word for it on that. All I know is Dinesh D'Souza got put in prison for something that everybody, a mistake that a lot of people make that all of a sudden he gets put in prison. See, people like Roger Stone and Paul Manafort, Navarro, Dinesh D'Souza, those people go to prison when the left is in charge. When the right is in charge, we're gonna take the high road. We're not gonna do that. We're not gonna punish our political enemies. Huh. They're not just political enemies, folks. These are enemies of the state. These are enemies of the country. They would have you believe that we're the enemies of the country by being conservative and being upholding the Constitution, waving a flag. You're an enemy of the state. You're a MAGA. You're a right-wing extremist. Don't tread on me. You're a terrorist. There was a time when if you had a bumper sticker on your car for Ron Paul, you could possibly be a part of a terrorist organization. Think about that. I was a congressman for how many years? Ran for president. If you have a bumper sticker, you're a terrorist. Oh, but Ilhan Omar. No, she's perfect. Can't say anything about her. She loves the United States of America. You can hear it in her voice. She talks about it so fondly. She's thanked the American people profusely over and over and over and over again for rescuing her from Somalia. She doesn't stop talking about it. It's like after a while, you're just like, hey, just stop with the thanks, would you? Move on. Stop being so appreciative of everything that we've done for you. Oh, no, I take that back. I guess I had her confused with someone else. Or no one else. I don't know. So we had this deal with the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. This man cannot be Speaker, by the way. This man must not be Speaker of the House. Now, unfortunately, he's already, because he's been the minority leader, which makes him automatically a candidate for the Speaker of the House because he's been leading the House, Republican Party. He has been wielding his power by investing in people's campaigns. And this is what's really disturbing about this, is that he is now investing and telling lies. The guy is just flat out lying. He's not being very candid. He lacks candor. No, it's a lie. It's not just that he's not coming forth with all the truth. He's lying. He's being very deceptive. What does that tell you about the guy? This guy's the biggest weasel that we have in the House right now because he's the most powerful weasel in the House right now. He's coming out, and I think his PAC or his the GOP, I guess it is that he controls the money for. There's like $300,000 on top of some other money that's been given to this guy. I think it's in New York, someplace, some race somewhere. I can't remember where it's at. They are, let's see if I can find the actual name of this guy. No, it's not. But the rhinos, the rhinos and the GOP establishment is coming after this MAGA, the MAGA bunch, and going after all kinds of what they would consider political rivals by trying to fund the GOP establishment people. Now, see, of course, now McCarthy's motivation is he needs to get these people in the House because he doesn't think the MAGA crowd is going to vote him in as Speaker of the House. He wants to be Speaker of the House. So he has a motive here. And it's not just to stay in the power play. It's to be the top piggy pile and wield the power. And so he's going against. See, they're stuck in this quandary now. Even Dan Crenshaw flipped on Liz Cheney. He was initially calling out how much of a woman of integrity she is. Now all of a sudden he's backtracking on all that. He said, "Well, I said that. Oh, look at the date on that. That wasn't me. I said it, but that was back when she's gone off the deep end." I think after this last primary, and they realize that 80% of the MAGA guys are trouncing the GOP establishment. I think the establishment is they're a little bit scared right now. Crenshaw has not been ever been a big supporter of Trump. That's okay. He doesn't have to be. But he has always sided with more of the establishment bunch. It comes across like he's this, he's a tough guy SEAL. Okay, whatever. What does that do for you in terms of leadership? I mean, it's a leadership thing. Don't get me wrong. Every Navy SEAL is a more capable leader than most people just sitting around playing Game Boys. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to diminish the service of serving in the military or especially being a SEAL or a Ranger or Beret or whatever you are, anything that requires above and beyond. That's not to be diminished by any means. However, just being a tough guy does not make you a leader. Use the skills you learned to think on your own and do all those things that you were taught to do to be a leader. Yeah, okay, you can do that. But don't think that people are going to be afraid of you. Think that fear is never a good motivation. It's just not a good motive. I've seen this even in the teaching world. I've seen instructors many times. I do a lot of teaching stuff. And I've seen this happen with people. Now, some people, it's very rare. It's like 2% of the individuals out there learn best under fear. They need fear in order to be motivated to learn something. It's probably even less than that. I don't know. I'm not an expert on percentages. I don't even know how to spell percentage. But the majority of people learn best under different kind of learning environment. You need some stress in learning. There needs to be some push. There needs to be a little bit of performance mentality to some degree. However, fear is not one of those things. It's not a component of that. You might learn it, but you're not going to have a good association with it, and it's just going to be bad news down the road. And so these guys who are out there thinking that they're going to strike fear into people's hearts, they're going to lead with if that's what you're using for leadership, folks, that's not you're going down the wrong path. You don't really have followers. I'm just saying. So they're funding this stuff, and this is very much very similar to the way the Soros groups and Soros organizations are doing weird stuff. They're financing the MAGA. The Democrats are coming out and financing MAGA constituents, whatever you're going to call them, leaders who are running for office. And in the hopes, this could really backfire on them, I think. I think it's going to backfire big time on them. Because they think that they're a centrist Democrat, actually left-wing radical Democrat, will have a better chance of winning against a MAGA, because everybody hates MAGA. I don't think they're really thinking really straight here, because they're more worried about the centrist GOP establishment candidates. Of course, the GOP now has to spend more money to get their candidates in there, to get their establishment people in there, the rhinos. So this becomes a huge battle between, you know, there's just all kinds of chess moves being played here. And it's really rather disturbing. Everybody knows, for some reason, despite the fact that they think that everybody hates Trump now, and they've vilified this guy for 7 years. He's a monster. He's a racist. He's a terrible person. He has mean tweets. Listen to what he said about women. It's always, you know, they all talk about Rosie O'Donnell. The reason he went after Rosie O'Donnell is because Rosie O'Donnell attacked him first. She went after him for a long time. By the way, this started out in Las Vegas. Rosie O'Donnell was attacking him like crazy on her show. And on other you know, on radio shows and everything else that she was doing out there. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump punches back. It's you know what? If you want to go there, then take it like a man. That's just the way it is. You know? Anyway, so, But, you know, then he becomes the monster, the enemy, the bad guy, according to the left. Now, if he would have been a person on the left, if he would have been a Democrat running, they would have loved him. He'd have been the best person in the world. They could have been showering him with ticker tape parades. That's all we would have heard about. So this is what's going on right now. There's this huge mess of stuff that's happening before the midterms. The GOP is terrified of MAGA people winning. The Democrats are terrified of MAGA people winning. Now, according to he was on yesterday on some show. He was a Hillary Clinton White House staff person, I believe, and he ended up slipping over. He's a big, huge supporter of Trump now. A political pundit who actually he's pretty good at predicting things. I can't think of his name. Kind of has a little bit of a lisp when he talks. Older guy. He's being interviewed, and he said something about the way things are panning out, and he's predicting that the Senate may... The Republicans in the Senate may actually gain about 5 or 6 seats. Now, hopefully, I'd like to see Mitch McConnell out of there. You know, maybe 2 more years tops. I think the Senate term, I think, is 6 years. And my guess is he's going to be running. And there's no way he's going to make it to the end of his term. Here we have another situation where we have a guy who's starting to lose it. Came out and made some statements the other day that sounded pretty derogatory towards people in the House. He was saying, well, the Senate candidates are different quality of individual, and the entire state votes on Senate candidates, whereas we have districts for the House. within a state, so you don't always have, you know, the entire state doesn't vote for a particular House representative, whereas the entire state votes for a Senate representative. At least in most states, that's the way it is. As far as I know, all states are that way. But I'm not sure. I don't know about this stuff. So there's differences in the way things are voted for. That's what I'm getting at. So the point is, Mitch McConnell needs to go. That's the point. We need somebody like a Rand Paul as Speaker or the head of the Senate, Senate Majority Leader. If this happens, if they get more than three, I think personally too, just in my gut, I have a feeling that they are going to take back the Senate. In other words, they are at least going to stop the ability for Carmella to step in with her one vote and win anything. And they're so polarized right now, they're not going to be able to do anything in the Senate. Now, that's my opinion. I think they only need to win two seats for that to happen. And in fact, I think they're going to win five or six. I think there's 12 seats up this time for re-election, and I believe two of those are pretty solid for Democrats. The rest of them are kind of up for grabs. There's eight of them. Dick Morris, that's the guy's name, Dick Morris. He thinks that there's more up for grabs, their potential switching, flipping. And he thinks that at least five or six could – he thinks they could lose four to five, possibly six, that the Republicans would gain. Now, having said that, the House definitely is on the verge of flipping. And he thinks it's going to be an absolute slaughter. It's just going to be a landslide like we've never seen before. And somehow I think that's probably true. Now, if that happens, if they take over the House and the Senate, I guarantee you, depending on what's going on in Trump's life, he's going to announce he's running. And then you're going to see every head on the left explode. Now, it's interesting. They got rid of Brian Stelter. I don't make fun of Brian Stelter too much. Poor guy. He's a sick and sad individual. I don't like even mentioning their names much. But he's been fired from CNN. He wasn't let go. His show wasn't canceled. He was fired. He's probably asked to resign. It's a weird issue. The way his show was canceled and done away with, all this stuff that's happening right before the midterms. Now I've heard rumor has it that CNN is trying to regain or restore its integrity, and this is going to take years, guys. They can't do this overnight. But they got to get rid of people like, you know, they got rid of what's his name, Cuomo, and they're working through their, you know, through that. Apparently there's more. Coming. There's more hatchets coming. Hopefully people like Lawrence O'Donnell. Well, I think he works for MSNBC. O'Donnell's an idiot as well. Lawrence O'Donnell. Fauci's leaving. He's going to retire. The guy's like 80-some years old. He's the highest paid person on staff in the government that we know of. So he has a lot of changes coming all of a sudden here before the midterms because people are in a panic. Now, again, I've said that the Democrats are desperate, and desperate people do desperate things. And for them, it means nothing to lie, cheat, or steal. And it's because the end justifies the means for them. They are passionately believing that if the Democrats lose, they lose their democracy. I really believe that they have their own definition of what democracy is. And what they mean is they lose their democracy. They lose their grip on democracy. One of the things that Dick Morris said was the reason Mitch McConnell hasn't come out and said anything about the raid. Not a peep. I haven't heard him say anything about it. He's really hoping that they get Trump on something. Now, I just saw this morning that over 100 documents Trump had over 100, this was on MSNBC, Trump had over 100 documents at the classified information documents at the Mar-a-Lago. I don't see the thing here right now, but the Mar-a-Lago residence. Well, you don't understand. This gets back to this whole thing of, you know, the president, the executive branch maintains control of all the documents in terms of what is classified and what's not. He had a broad sweeping request, not a request, but an order put in prior to leaving that everything that was that left. Now, he wasn't the one who loaded up a pickup truck, and he wasn't out there, just in his, you know, torn up jeans and sweatshirt. He's out there loading up the truck with all these documents. He's just by himself, just all by himself. Nobody's supporting him anymore. He's just a lonely guy walking out the door. He went down to the basement, grabbed all these documents out of there. He's got stuff, folks. He knows things. I think if he gets back into office, he's going to let both barrels fly, and it's going to be real interesting what happens from that point on. I believe. I could be wrong. Maybe it's just a whole lot of smoke, because you still have to deal with the establishment who's in place, who's going to be the DOJ, who's going to be the AG, who's going to be, you know, running the show there for the CIA and all the other stuff that's there. Those organizations go very, very deep. I'm not so sure that the FBI needs to be, destroyed. And no, that was the other thing. I saw one of the headlines on MSNBC. It said, the anti-law enforcement rhetoric coming from the GOP is continuing to fuel flames of threats to the FBI. We had protests in the street with police precincts being destroyed. Some of them haven't even been recovered again yet. Defund the police. Protests saying extremely bad things about police officers. All kinds of violent acts. And I think like 19 officers died directly because of riot stuff, just attacks on police. Not in the line of duty, just not saving someone else. They were attacked during that year. And that was all funded and encouraged. They're not going to stop. And they shouldn't stop. They're not going to stop. That was the vice president saying that. She gave money to a fund to bail people out who are committing acts of violence like that. And yet, all of a sudden, the GOP is the one who has a problem with the FBI overstretching, overreaching. There was a group down in Florida recently. I don't even like listening to it. I'm not going to play the audio because there is an African socialist group of some kind. These people are more radical than the Black Panthers ever were. Now, the way the socialists do this, the radical Marxist collectivists, I'm just going to call them collectivists because people argue and say, well, Marxists aren't the same thing as socialists, and the socialists aren't the same thing as communists. Okay, I'll just talk about collectivists, okay, just because that defines them all. At their core, that is who they are. They're all collectivists. And I was so shocked by the comments that this lady was getting. They showed her on the news. There was some kind of news. Apparently, the FBI raided their house and did something else too. They're all upset about that. They didn't want to say anything about Trump's raid, of course. But her apartment, her home was raided or whatever, and they took some stuff and they didn't tell her why. And she was all this, you know, wishy-washy stuff. And some leader of their organization, and she said her name really fast because it makes her sound like she's more articulate. And she's arguing the whole case of, you know, that it's the the Western colonialists. They shouldn't even be here in this country. They should, you know, they should be gone. They're the ones who, you know, fell on the indigenous people of this country, and on and on and on and on. And that's, and she hate, you know, and she hates this country. She hates this government, basically, is what she was saying. You know, she literally said that. So my question is, why are you still here? Why are you here then, if you hate this country so much? Do you really think that your movement is going to gain some traction and you're going to be going to win hearts and minds with the rhetoric you're saying here? Now the question is that's not really that's not even really a reason to ignore her, because folks, it only takes a small group of people to run things. I don't know if you. When Che Guevara took over Cuba, he started with a group of like 12 people. All he needed was a little bit of support from the people in the surrounding. They just needed the support of them. They didn't need the people. They just needed support. They went in and took over the government with a very small group of people. Just a few hundred people basically came in, took over the government of Cuba. At the time, it was very small. You know, it's not a huge place. It's not a huge country. They started getting into places of power. Next thing you know, the hammer drops. Then they start trying to keep people from leaving, because all the people of wealth, the people who had built up their stature, their abilities, their skills, their, you know, the rich people, the people who were successful, were packing up their money and leaving the country. Well, they cracked down on some of those people, and some of the leaders actually got executed, taken to a firing squad. This happened in Grenada, by the way. A lot of people don't know the whole story of Grenada. What happened, what led up to the U.S. invasion, basically, to restore Grenada from the people. There were the communists that came in and took them over. There was a group of communists that came in, just like they were going to do with Cuba. That was their model. They went into Grenada. They gathered up all of the heads of the country, which were, you know, these were people who'd been there, lived there forever. They were the chiefs, the heads, they had a regular form of government, but they were all, you know, people's grandpas and grandmas and leaders of the country, societal leaders, community leaders, who were in charge of the country at that time. They took them. There's another little small little island that's uninhabited right next to Grenada. It's just like a little rock over there, and that was their base of operations, basically. They took almost all of them over there and just killed them. And then they began to crack down on everything that was going on there. Well, that was enough right there. That was the line in the sand, and of course, it should have been before that, but the U.S. troops came in. And under the guise of, we need to save there's a college down there we need to save, there's a nursing university or whatever it was. But they took the guys out. It was over there pretty quickly. So, you know, that's, and if you go there today, if you go to Grenada right now, there's a big monument as you go near the airport. There's a big monument there that's very clear that the Grenadian people of Grenadine. Grenadian people are extremely thankful for what the U.S. did there, coming in and restoring and booting out the communists. Now, what's interesting down there is in many of the islands at the airports, you'll find some of the government buildings. You'll go in and you'll find pictures of Hugo Chavez, Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, up on their walls in honor of them. Look at our wonderful leaders. It is the weirdest, creepiest thing you've ever seen. People who we would consider criminals here. People who just flat out, with their own hand, murdered people. And they're heralded as great leaders there, some of those places. It's really bizarre, just bizarre. But that's the kind of creepiness we can get into when you start getting into politics and you start getting into all this stuff with power and money. And when you own, completely own the media, and you have the ability to edit, cancel, forbid free speech. I'm afraid that's where we're heading, folks. Look at what the left did in the last couple of years, in less than 2 years, actually, even during the Trump administration, things that they were doing. Look at the direction they want to take us. That's not just a place, it's a direction. Keep that in mind. It is Tuesday. I will have a show tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, there will be a show. Probably, hopefully, if I live that long. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Have the rest of the week. Take care.